Thank you, ladies. What a beautiful song. May God find us faithful. Amen. Good song. We've enjoyed being with you today. I appreciate your pastor and the church honoring an evangelist on this time in December. The preacher told you the truth. It is kind of shallow going during Christmas, and I appreciate getting to come here with y'all. Sister Woodward that's here tonight, I appreciate her. She's drove us around, delivered us in the right place, and I deeply appreciate her and Brother Dan. And that's, see, I'm saying good things about him because she'll tell him, you know. She'll tell him about that. I want to do it right. Preacher asked me to mention again tonight, since many of you were not in Sunday school and also in the morning service because of your laboring. So the preacher asked me to say something to you about what we want to do and ask you to remember us in prayer. Many years ago, this will be our 30th year coming up, 28 years full time in January, we saw that most material that's written is not written for the prisoner, such as baptism. I'm for you being baptized right after you're saved. Judy and I got saved on a Sunday night together. Following Sunday night, we followed the Lord in believers' baptism. I believe that's right. But you have to understand, in prison, there's so much confusion, so many different cults. Some of them believe in baptismal regeneration. Many of them do. Many of them believe only in Jesus Christ. The Father is not there, and neither is God the Holy Ghost. It's just Jesus, Jesus only. And there's so much confusion that the people who get saved need to learn what's right and then follow. And especially upon getting out, they need to follow the Lord in baptism in a good independent Baptist church. That's just one of the things. And we saw that there was the need for material. I told you this morning, right now in America, they read at about the fourth grade level. So it was necessary that the material we give them be such that they could handle it, that they could read through it. You can't use big words. You just can't. You have to check on the computer. Would a fourth grader or fifth grader understand this word? If not, the computer tells you it would be better to use these words instead, to say salvation, be born again, get saved, washed in the blood. All those things are different terms. And some of them think you've got to speak in tongues to be saved, and you're not saved till you do speak in tongues. They go around trying to heal each other from a cold and from everything that comes down the road. It's just a place wherein the devil has sowed confusion. And that may make us look bad, but it's the truth. And if you look on any prison sign, it doesn't say Illinois Baptist Prison. Though the truth is, the majority of prisoners in America are Baptists because that's all they can spell. They can't spell Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Pentecostal. They can't dig that. They can't spell it. I can't even spell Methodist. But they can get it looking like Baptist. They can get something like that down. It'll be close. You'll have to guess, but you can tell they're Baptists. Nearly all of them. Some of the best people I know are Baptists, and they're in prison. They really live for the Lord, you know. So years ago, we didn't understand all that I tell you now, 30 years of experience with it. But God gave us two different printing presses within a two-week period. And the people who gave us the presses gave us the paper and the ink and everything we needed to do it. The only trouble was none of us knew how to do it. And literally, we used to try, and we'd have paper at least as high as your shins all around the press. it jammed up, and oh, we had an awful mess. And a man come along and said, I don't know what I'm doing either, but if you'll give me them two presses, I'll learn, and we'll use them. And we began to realize we needed material that was designed that told the prisoners such things as flying off the handle, such things as shame and embarrassment, and many other titles. Well, we started. Now we have a print shop. We've kept on adding over these 30 years and building. And this past 12 months, we have printed 33 million pieces of material for the prisons around the world, prisons and schools, 33 million. All of it given away, all of it given to the prisoner. We don't sell anything to them. We don't ask them for money. We don't do that. 33 million. We print what we know they need. We print our Bible lessons, the Prisoner's Bible Institute lessons. We do all of that ourselves. We print our own material because we want it to be applicable to where they are and what they need. We have a series that says that you need to understand. What about the friends at home? What about death? What about lengthy prison sentences? What should you do? All of it tied to the Bible. One of the things we do is print a yearly calendar. And all over, there was a documentary on Discovery Channel, and there in the cell where they were interviewing this inmate behind his head was a Rock of Ages calendar that he had gotten, and sure enough, he was marking off the days as he went along. And we do that for him. Well, now, preacher asked me to tell you, one of the things that we're going to do is prepare for them a study Bible, King James Version, but it'll be a Rock of Ages study Bible. It'll have notes, it'll have concordances, and things like that, again, just so they can learn from it. One of our missionaries now, Leroy Demoselis, 25 years ago, he was in prison. Preacher led him to the Lord and left him, gave him a Bible, and that's all he had. And he had to learn what he learned just by reading and trying to figure it out. There was no chaplain, no services. He finally got a hold of a book by John R. Rice, Questions and Answers about the Bible by Dr. Rice. And it was a great help to him. I know my own mother, she was in a liberal church, and we sent her the sword, and she, when she got saved, she knew to get out of that church and to look for an independent Baptist church. She had learned that. Those things are so important to people who have time to read and to search, even though they are poor readers. So we're going to print a Rock of Ages study Bible, and I need your prayers right now. That's my need, your prayers, as we try to work out all the details before we start, which way we're going to go with it. Perhaps we could more cheaply get it done by somebody else. But regardless of who prints it, whether we buy the equipment and do it ourselves or whether we have it done, we need a Bible that's applicable and will clear up the confusion that the inmates have. You have no idea the power that Muslims have in prison, especially over the black inmates. They have tremendous, they exert tremendous power. It's not a place, I know out here, if you don't want the telemarketer to call you, you can hang up or get his name put on a list or hang up or whatever. But in prison, you must, just might end up knifed or your head beat in one night while you're asleep. And then there's the Aryan Brotherhood for the whites. And then there is the Spanish gangs for the Spanish men. And they exert tremendous pressure. And we want to help them out. What does the Bible say about that? Standing for the Lord. There are a lot of Christians in prison. Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me. It means that He has believers in prison. He has a lot of people in there that do know the Lord, that are struggling, that do want to grow, that are hungry. Whether you're on the outside or on the inside, if you get saved, you get hungry for the milk of the Word. You get hungry for that. I got saved while I was in the Navy. Judy and I were a long way from home. All we had was a Gideon's New Testament that they gave me when I went aboard ship. But you know, we read that and devoured that. Finally got our own Bible that had a zipper with a cross on the end. I got one. And boy, I didn't want anybody to see me buying a Bible. But I got one. And Judy said, I want one too. I want my own Bible. You take that to work and then I don't have anything. I want a Bible too. So on payday, I went to the PX and I went through there and found this white Bible. It had a zipper and had a cross. And I said, that's for Judy. I put it on the bottom of everything in my buggy that I was getting for that pay period, you know. Including my pell-mells. It went under that, you know. You know, I'd been saved a couple of weeks. And I forget what Judy smoked, but hers were in the buggy, too. You think it's just us. I always say that because Miss Angel thinks that all wives are perfect. And all men are, well, I can't even tell you what she thinks. So I just try to correct her thinking. Dan Woodward taught me that. And I got up to the counter, see, and I put the things up there. And she looked at that white Bible, and my heart fell. I just knew what she was doing. She couldn't find the price. I picked up one that wasn't price. And she took the mic and said, does anybody know how much these white Bibles cost with a zipper and a cross? I'm telling you, everybody in that PX stared at me. I said, oh, dear Lord, why did I pick that Bible? Why does Judy have to have a Bible? But anyhow, I got over it, amen. And I got over the pell-mells, too. You can quit looking like you're going to die. Some of you didn't quit everything on the first day either. Not, say amen right there. Say, how do you know that? Your wife told me. That's how I know it. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, my heart. God sure did show me up, didn't He? He said, you're ashamed of me. I'm ashamed of you, you low-down hound. And I got over that, decided I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know. Going with the Lord. I'm glad you're here tonight. We deal with so many serious situations, but sometimes on the road and with the ministry, funny things happen. I'll take just a minute and we'll come to the Bible. Mrs. Woodward like this, maybe Mrs. Angel will. We have a little short fellow. I guess he's 5 feet tall at the most, and he's thin, and he real thin. And his name is Raymond Pendergrass. And his name is bigger than he is, honestly. And as just a young man, he went to mortician school. And he's been a mortician all of these years. And he's in his 70s. And after he learned about the Rock of Ages, he must have been in his 60s then. He started going on revivals. Well, now he's around 72, 73, like that. And he's quit mortician, and went full time with the Rock of Ages, Raymond Pendergrass, and a little squeaky voice, and he's always smiling and he's always looking up at you, just like you'd think a mortician is, you know. You know what you think about them. Well, his mother is 90-some years old, and she still lives alone, still has her own home, still takes care of herself. But Brother Raymond and his wife have begun going over there in the evening and spending the nights with her and then coming home the next morning. So Raymond had done that. He left her house about 7 going home. She was up and moving around and well. And he fell asleep over on Sand Mountain, Alabama. He fell asleep. And he ran off the road. And he ran off down the mountain. And just as he hit this big tree, he woke up and he saw this white sheet being pulled over his head. And he said, "Well, this is it. Oh, he's pulled the white sheet up. I'm going to heaven. I'm on my way now," and passed out again. Well, it was the seatbelt, the airbag going off. And he is only 5 feet tall, so he was looking through, so it went smack over his head. And he passed out again. And when he come to, they had gone down the mountain and brought him back up to the road. And he was laying on the side of the road. And they said, sir, who's the president? Who's the president, sir? And he said, Dr. Ron Garris. And EMT said, internal head injury. Oh, one of them got on the radio and called in a helicopter from Chattanooga to come down there and get him because he had an internal head injury. They couldn't see anything. While he's trying to tell him, he's got his arm up and he's pointing at his watch. And they're saying, yeah. Well, he had on a Rock of Ages watch. And he was trying to say, Dr. Ron Garris is the president of the Rock of Ages. But all would come out was Dr. Ron Garris. Well, they proceeded with scissors to cut his clothes off of him. Even his underwear. They cut his shoestrings. They took off his shoes and his socks. And there he's laying on the road. And it's just a few weeks ago. It's pretty chilly. And he's laying on the side of the road buck naked while they're lifting his arm and looking for this and looking for that and seeing what's broke. Trying not to move his neck. Well, the helicopter landed on the highway. Traffic stopped. They loaded him up, and he's on his way on to Erlinger in Chattanooga. And one of the men in there said, "Who'd you say the president was?" He said, "Dr. Ron Garris." He said, "Okay, hold still." He put an IV in and got that running. Well, he got to the hospital. He was in the emergency room all day. Finally, Dr. Kamin said, "Mr. Pendergrass, if you can get somebody to drive you, I think you can go home if you feel like it. You feel well enough to go?" He said, "Yes, sir, I want to go. I told you wasn't anything wrong with me." They said, "Well, we had to check for that internal head injury. You must have just been confused." And then he said, "Doctor, I can't go home. They cut up all my clothes. I don't have any clothes to put on." And the doctor said, "Don't worry about it, Mr. Pendergrass. We'll give you a paper suit." And when he told me that, I said, "Raymond, do you know who they put in paper suits?" He said, "I do. I've put a lot of them in paper suits. I know. But I'm alive, Brother Ron. I'm alive." Please. Don't tell them I'm your president. Tell them Terry Angel. Tell them I'm out of the cult. Terry Angel is the leader. And see what happens to you. Think about it, kid. Your own helicopter ride, huh? Wow. That's wonderful, ain't it? And he's back in prison again, grinning at the prisoners. Little old short guy, they love him. Squeaky voice, you can't imagine. Sometimes the men say, hey, if you don't straighten up, Raymond's going to take you outside. You know them guys, sides of brick buildings, you know, going to take you outside. Do pray for us about that study Bible. Judy and I have got to see about it and get into it, do what we got to do, and I need your prayers. Pray for Judy. Perhaps next year it'll be to just do what I've done today one time with you and then go. And it may be that Judy will not be able to travel with me as much as she does now. So it'll be adjustment for both of us. And I wish you'd pray for us, please, about it. Tonight in your Bible, to Psalm 129 and verse 8, I want you to look at just one verse. And if you're not real familiar with your Bible, if you'll turn back to the book of Numbers, chapter 6, and just have it ready, we'll look at Psalm 129, and we'll come back to Numbers, chapter 6, and we'll read there tonight in just a little bit. I want to preach tonight on something is missing. Something is missing. Have you ever left home thinking that something, you forgot something? Have you ever had that experience? Is your wife in the car? I remember we were in a revival, and it was packed out. I'm telling you, it was packed out. People all left, and here come the nursery worker with one last baby. And she said, "Preacher, nobody came to clean this one." And I said, "Whose is it?" "Well, it had a tag back here." They looked at the tag, and the preacher said, "I don't know anybody by that name. Must have been from another church." "Well, where did they go?" Said, "We don't know, but they didn't come. And my husband has to go to work at 11. So here it is, preacher." And they gave it to the preacher, and we gave it to our wives. Well, we didn't know what to do. We didn't want to call the law and get the people in trouble. But in a little while, come a van. The van was on its last legs. It was just running, and it was filled with kids. But was it you, Brother Green? I can't remember if it was you or not. But anyway, there was kids in there by the buckets full. And the lady come in and said, "Oh, you found my baby. We going home." I said to my husband, "We're missing something." He said, "No, we're not. Just be still. We'll be there in just a little bit." Said we got out. I finally counted them and realized we missed the baby. "We're so sorry. You really have missed something when you leave your baby in the nursery. Amen." Or like another preacher and I, we left our wives in an antique store. And because it was a one-way street in, we couldn't find them. And it was storming. And the antique store people thought they were two gangsters that were going to rob the store after they closed. So they put them outside, and all they had was that little bit that, where the door is, you know, all they had was to stand under that. When we got there finally, they looked like drowned cats. Their hair was every which way, and Glenda had hers up, you know, one of them poofy hairstyles. But that summer storm did her in. I'm telling you, Junior and I nearly got in trouble that day. More than dirty looks, I thought I was going to get one up alone. But we couldn't help it. We got mixed up. We were trying to trade Case knives with the president of the Case Knife Company. That's serious business now. Took us all afternoon to lay out them knives. And it's serious business. And we tried to find him. We ended up in St. Mary's Cemetery. And we went around and around and couldn't find out how to get out. And the streets were flooded. And all we could do was go out of town. We didn't know how to come in. It was terrible. And I have missed a few things in my life. I should have went on to the house that day and said, well, God bless her. By the way, I'm preaching on that tonight. God bless her. But anyhow, she dried out and she cleaned up pretty good. She really did. Watch David in Psalm 129. Listen to him say in verse 8, something is missing. Neither do they, in Psalm 129, verse 8, neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Let's pray a minute. Father, please tonight, may there be a difference in all of our homes and in all of our relationships because of what you would teach your people tonight from the Word of God. Please, dear Jesus, I beg of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice what the man of God said that he sensed was missing among the people. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. David said, it's been so long since I've heard someone say to me, God bless you, King David. The Lord bless you, dear King David. God bless you. He said, I miss that more than any other thing. I miss people putting God's blessings on me. Can I tell you one thing you could do for your pastor? You could say to your pastor, bless you, Brother Angel. God bless you, Sister Angel. We love you and we're praying for you. May the Lord bless you this week. I began to listen some time ago. I heard Christians departing from one another and say, see you later, dude. Hey, we'll see you. You better come home tonight. If you don't, I'll divorce you and I get half of everything you have. That's your gun collection, too. I thought about children. How many children get on the bus to go to school, whether it's Christian or public? And before they left home, mother stopped everything and said, children, God bless you today, and I'll be praying for you. And how many children say to their parents, I'm going to bed, Dad. Good night. God bless you. Bless you, Mom. And I discovered there's really very little of it. I have even sensed that pastors don't bless the people in the name of the Lord. Judy and I were not raised Baptists. We did not know to be saved till we went to Granny's church, a Baptist church. But one thing those liberal churches did do, every Sunday before we left, the preacher blessed us in the name of the Lord. I want to make you aware of something tonight. Judy and I have begun to do that for one another. Before I preached at Providence College on Friday, it was a rush to get up there, and the kids had all been at a funeral, and of course you got to maintain a schedule. And before I went up there, she reached up and whispered in my ear, the Lord bless you, hon. I'll be praying. She said to me tonight as we got ready to leave the motel room, I said, God bless you, wifey. And she said, the Lord bless you, hon. God will bless you tonight. If you have tension around the house, if everybody's going their way, if it's confusion, if you need something that will slow it down and put it to a stop, I tell you what, try. See, everybody stand still. The Lord bless you. God bless you, wife. God bless you, kids. In Numbers chapter 6, turn back there with me, and we'll look at something tonight, and then I'll come to the New Testament. In Numbers chapter 6, and the Lord, in verse 22, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Watch this now. What are you doing when you say to someone, the Lord bless you, children. The Lord bless you too, Mom. Hey, Dad, God bless you today at work. And they shall put my name. That's what you're doing. And thou shalt put my name upon the children of Israel. And you say, ah, there ain't nothing to them bunch of words. Careful, scoffer. We heard you were coming in the last days. I'd watch my mouth if I were you. God might hear it knock a knot in your head. You'll have to climb a ladder to scratch. Look at the end of verse 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And notice this. And I will bless them. It's one thing for me to preach this message to you. It's another thing to say to you on the authority of the Word of God. If you say to someone, God bless you, the Lord bless you and be with you. God said, here's what I'll do. I will bless them. I will. No doubt about it. I will bless them. How many go astray in the world? Men and now ladies work in the world all the time. An affair seems to like to offer something. For example, no bills, no responsibility. It seems like it offers something. I wonder if we could protect one another by saying to one another, God bless you, wife. The Lord bless you today. God said, I will do it. Do you worry about your children? I'm sure you do. Our son's a police officer. He's 43 years old. He's been 20 years in a patrol car. And still we worry about him. And we have a grandson that works and is in college. And we worry about him. We pray. We call their names many times. And we say to them often, God bless you, boy. Hey, Mark, God bless you. We're praying for you. Why do you do that, preacher? Because God said, I will bless them. I can only speak to you, and I won't be long tonight. I can only speak to you out of experience. I felt it this evening when, as we got ready to leave the motel room, I went down first because they had cookies. And I didn't want them to think nobody liked their cookies. And maybe they'd quit making them. So I put one in each pocket and ate one too. I know I ain't supposed to have cookies, but you gotta be kind to people. And as I got ready to go out, Judy opened the door and reached up and kissed me and said, God bless you tonight, hon. I felt it immediately. A calmness slipped in over my heart. Here's what a blessing of God will do for you. Notice verse 24, 25, and 26. Notice each one begins with the words, the Lord. And the Israelites saw those three verses as God the Heavenly Father. Verse 25, God the Son, which they knew God had a Son. And verse 26, the Holy Spirit. Notice when you say, the Lord bless thee, and God said, I will bless them, you're saying, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That is, that He would show you favor and protect you. That God would show you favor and protect you. I want you to know, we need the protection of God. Our children need it. You cannot watch them. You cannot watch them every day. I remember a boy coming in the pastor's office from a Christian school, and that boy was fouled up as a spinning top. And we talked with him, and he finally said, I've been messed up ever since here at school. Some older high school boy had some dirty pictures, and I haven't been able to get them out of my mind. And he had been doing the most ungodly things. And if you know what I preached on this morning, he had been spying, if I can put it that way, on his sisters. Just because a boy in a public school. I'm going to tell you, you're foolish to go around living this wicked world that we live in. And God has provided you a means whereby He's promised you to protect them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That is, protect thee. In verse 25, the part that belongs, if you can say that, though the Bible said these three are one. So I don't know that you can say verse 25 or 4 is the Father and 25 the Son, 26 the Holy Ghost. But in verse 24 or 25, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. To make His face shine upon thee. Don't lose that, please. But come with me just a minute to the book of Psalm, chapter 80. If you want to see what that make His face shine upon thee means. Three times it's in Psalm, chapter 80. And rather than me tell you, why not just turn there and look, and then you'll understand. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. Notice in Psalm 80:3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Do you see that? Notice it has to do with keeping us in the way that we ought to walk and in the way that we ought to go. And there are temptations, and our minds do drift, and our minds do have images that they ought not to have. But that word, God bless you, it means the Lord make His face shine upon thee. That is to turn you immediately. Really, if you think about it, that is what I need Judy to do. She can't do it, but God can do it. What do I need? I need a clean heart, a pure mind. I need to be thinking right. I have a lot of responsibilities. I can't spend minutes and hours thinking in my mind, drifting off somewhere, I wonder if I could win the lottery. That's sin. Just like you would buy them stinking tickets. It's sin according to the book of Proverbs. I don't care if you spend a dollar or what you spend. It's sin. Next you'll be smoking marijuana. Say amen right there. I don't have time to think like that. I need God to correct my mind immediately. Draw it back. Turn me. Notice, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. It's three times in there in Psalm 80, verse 3, again in verse 7, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And in verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And what is it we need from God? What did we sing tonight? Amazing grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace. God's graciousness to us. Amen. That's brought us safe thus far. My son stood at car window one night out on I-95 and said to a load of Spanish men, they were Spanish. I'm not down on them. I'm just saying they were Spanish. They pretended they couldn't understand English. And Scott was asking them some questions. To him, it looked like they were trying to rob or getting ready to rob a Shell station. And Scott said to the driver, "Do you have a gun? Do you have a gun? Where's your gun?" And the guy reached under the seat and said, "Yeah, I got a gun." And Scott almost had to go home and change clothes. "Do you have a gun? Where's your gun?" "It was there, all right." The guy didn't try to shoot Scott or anything. He gave it to him. Oh, funny things happen. But he could have killed Scott right then. "The Lord be gracious unto thee." What about your children? What about their driving? What about school? What about bullies? What about so many things? Say amen right there. And you go around hoping. Well, I hope. I'm telling you. I hope. God said, "Hope nothing. I've told you what to do. Put my name upon them." Verse 26. "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." Now you think, well, "make His face shine upon thee and lift up His countenance upon thee" is the same thing, but it's not. To lift up His countenance is an ongoing matter. Not just to look down and look away, but it's a long-term matter. You remember He said to Cain, "Why is thy countenance fallen?" He didn't just get a bad countenance, a poochy lip. He didn't just get that. He had that a long time, and God called His attention to it. Now, I want His face to shine upon me and turn me back immediately. But I want the long-term countenance of God, looking down on the ministry, watching over 168 missionaries. They do fall asleep. Much as I preach to them and get on them, they do that. They do have accidents, terrible accidents. We drove over 3 million miles this past 12 months. Over 3 million miles. We flew 1 million, and the men have driven 2 million. And I don't mean just me and Judy. I mean all of us. All of us. And we need God's countenance. We need Him to look upon us. We need Him to watch over us. Make His countenance upon Him. And what I tell you, what did I feel tonight when Judy said, "The Lord bless thee"? What did I feel? Instantly, the tension of coming tonight, preaching this message. Worrying, is it the right message? But I couldn't find any other message that God would speak to me about. Thinking, oh, they won't even believe me if I tell them. They ought to tell one another. God bless you. To say to your children, God bless you. You know, I'm not against giving children Christmas presents. Of course not. But you know what would be greater than the present that the children want? Is a mother to say to them, God bless you this Christmas, son. God bless you, daughter. You that have people in Iraq, God bless you, son, when they call. Not just I hope, I'm praying you'll be home by Christmas. I'm praying you'll be out when they cut back in July. But to say, God bless you, God bless you. And to say, and son, I believe God. He said He would bless you if I pronounced His name over you. You want peace in your family? God bless your wife. And the Lord bless you, husband. Please stop letting your children leave your presence and go about their business without the name of the Lord upon them. Come to the New Testament now. Go towards closing. Look with me in Luke chapter 1. There you'll find the priest of Zacharias. And Zacharias, for the first time in his life, he was an old man. Nearly time, no doubt, for him to stop serving as a priest. They could serve to the age of 50. And no doubt he was near that. He and Elizabeth had no children. And she had always prayed concerning that. And on this time in the holy place at the golden altar in front of the veil, it was Zacharias's privilege to burn incense. A priest only got to do that one time in his life. One time he was allowed to do that. He went in where the candlestick and the tables of shewbread were, and he stood at the little golden altar, and he put the incense on it, and he put fire to it. And as the smoke ascended up, the Israelites lay down on their bellies with their hands like this and made their request and believed God would send the answer. And when the smoke was over, they stood up, but they didn't go home. They waited. What were they waiting for? In verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. They were waiting for him to come out and lift his hands over that group of people and say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord make his countenance. I probably mixed them two up and I'm sorry. And give thee peace. And they waited for that. It was so important. They went up there twice today. They quit selling goods. They quit serving food. They quit doing everything to go up to the house of God that they might be blessed. Look in your Bible in Luke chapter 24 as Jesus departs this earth. Notice what he was doing in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 50. And notice what he was doing. The crucifixion and the resurrection have occurred now. And he has been with them 40 days. And now in verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. Notice this. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Jesus thought it was so important to put the name of the Lord upon his disciples. He had already breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He had already instructed them to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. But the last thing he did, as he began to rise up, he pronounced the blessing of Numbers chapter 6 and put God's name on those believers. There is a benediction. Come to with me and we'll close in the book of Jude. You say, "What are you after tonight, preacher?" I'm after again listening to people saying, "God bless you." Wait now, before you go, I want to put the blessings of the Lord on you. I didn't take time this morning or this evening. Think what that says about the person who's saying it. Do you see? If you're going to say, "God bless you," you must be a person that knows God. Do you know, again, we've missed it. I've done some checking on this. It is against the law for you to say to somebody in the workplace, "God bless you." You're not allowed to do that. You say, "Well, I do it." Yeah, nobody's done anything about it. But you get some woman activist and you tell her, "God bless you," and you just might have more than you bargained for. She can bring a legal battle against you. Think about that. Think about the heathen so dread you saying, "God bless you," that they would get a law passed that you can't bless people. Does that tell you anything? And we're the people that should be able to say, "The Lord bless you." I mean, it ought to mean something to Judy. She saw me with my Bible this afternoon. She saw me sitting quietly trying to pray. She saw me. She watched me. It ought to mean something. And I left her behind in the room while I went down to make myself available to the cookies. One of them jumped right out of the little tray. And why I went out and left her alone? Because I knew what she'd do. She'd pray. The other day at the Providence College, everybody was gathered around talking. They took me in a room. And we left our coats there, and I could go to the bathroom, and I could get a drink of water and so forth before I went out. And Judy shut the door because she knew what I would do. And when I come out, she said, "The Lord bless you, hon. It'll be okay." Something's missing in your home. I can tell it on your faces. If you don't like Numbers because it's in the Old Testament, you know, then if you look in the book of Jude, I'll read for you in the book of Jude. And it's right at the end. In verse 24, here's a blessing you can use that's out of the New Testament. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, my Heavenly Father, how we need that. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You can use that out of the New Testament. Here it is, Christmas, and our families are coming home. Let's give them more than a gift. Let's give them what we have as God's people. Let's put the name of the Lord upon them. Would you stand with me tonight, please? Our Heavenly Father, I pray for us tonight. You've worked in my heart about this. We have one other couple, Steve and Melanie Jarrett, with the Rock of Ages. They never fail to say to me and Judy, or us to them, God bless you, Brother Ron. And dear Lord, I feel like we're like David. That's why I preached, and I believe you know we're like David. Our homes are sometimes so full of tension. People scrambling to go somewhere. Dear Father, children leaving, and mother all distraught. If we prepared our hearts and knew what we needed to do, and we did it, there'd be a calm over us. And tonight I pray, I ask you, bless the pastor he leads the invitation. Before I give it to Brother and Angel tonight, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'd like you to do something for me. Do you love your husband? Do you sometimes worry about him? I don't mean about adultery. But his driving so late at night, or at the work, or his heart. Why don't you pull him down where you can speak to him just in his ear? Why don't you put the blessings of God on him tonight? And husband, I know you love her. Why don't you put the blessings of the Lord upon her? Why don't you gather your children around you tonight? Each of the children. Why don't you call them by name? God said, if you'll bless them in the name of the Lord, you're putting my name upon them. And I will bless them.
Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I was thinking as he's preaching there, it's not a difficult matter to put God into our home. Did he get rid of the things that grieve him like he preached about this morning? If I'm dealing with a new couple who's newly saved or trying to get right with God, get back on their feet spiritually, I'll write four or five things out for them to do on a daily basis. One of the things that I put on that piece of paper is pray before every meal. Take a minute and thank God for the food. Thank Him for His provision. And ask Him to bless it to your body. Why would you do something like that? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's a good thought tonight. Meemaw used to sign her letters. I told you that a couple of weeks ago when I first got saved with Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That was after she signed her name. Before she signed her name, she wrote, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. She'd signed that at the end of her letters. I guess in those days I just read through it and thought, well, that's nice. Tonight has new meaning. It has new meaning. God bless you, hon. God bless you. Let's put God back in our home. God back in our marriages and our relationship with our children. Very simply, God bless you. Excellent message. Did the Lord speak to your heart tonight? What are this? Before we have the ladies play, is there someone here say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm even saved. If I died right down to where I'd spend eternity, would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you need to be baptized tonight, follow the Lord and believers' baptism, now's the time for you to come, slip out, and tell Brother Caleb that you need to be baptized. The Lord spoke to you tonight. If you want to whisper that to your wife or your husband at the altar, why don't you use the altar tonight for that purpose, before you come even at the pew. Let's put God back in our homes. Dear Father, thank you for this simple message, Bible message. We don't have a Christian society. We don't have a Christian government. It's sad to say in churches we don't have Christian homes. Neither do they say, the Lord bless thee. Help us to get back to it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, pray this song. Use this altar as the Lord speaks to you. Would you do? You come tonight, let God speak to you.